Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell, and I'm here with David Hunt, author of GERT, and the upcoming True GERT. Some very, very amusing histories of Australia that David's been penning. And now we're a bit early on True GERT, but I get a little bit excited about books like this, and so I've asked David to come in and talk about both books, but to sort of give us a bit of a hint of what's coming up in True GERT, which is volume two of his History of Australia. Welcome, David.
G'day, John.
Now, GERT is hysterical. Like, it's informative. Granted, you've done your work, but the way in which the way you put it together. I mean, I was flicking through Thomas Keneally the other day, going, "Where the laughs?" Manning Clark, nothing here.
Oh, there's a lot of laughs in Manning Clark.
Nothing like yours.
Oh no, he's a pisser.
Did. and you know, generally when I was at school, when someone mentioned this, we're going to do something in Australian history, I'd look for an open window to jump out.
Yeah, me too.
And you have presented it a completely different way. And the sales of GERT suggest to me, not only are your everyday reader picking it up and having a go, but if I was a student, I was a teacher trying to teach students Australian history today, I would not go into the room without carrying GERT and having some passages to read out. To make them laugh, to make them think about it in a different way. And so I think there are probably a lot of teachers out there ready to grasp your hand and shake it. Have you had much of a response from that side of the readership?
Look, it's the thing about GERT, it's written with a great deal of irony. And so there are things in it that I've written that if I was taken literally or somebody read it and took it at face value, it would be a very, very bad thing. So it's something that has to be handled reasonably sensitively with kids. I've had kids as young as 8 loving it, and I've had a couple of letters from kids who are 16 or 17 and have taken bits of it literally and have written me quite distressed letters about my vision for Australia. So I think when it's teachers have got to choose bits of it wisely, and they have to choose the kids who they'll share it with wisely. So I suspect it's not going to be a book that's ever formally on the syllabus, but I certainly know a number of teachers who use extracts or bits of it, both in lesson planning and in reading out bits to their students as well.
Well, I understand your concerns, but I'd love to see it. Set, especially for like year 11 and 12 as a text, because I think they're in a perfect position to get the
look. Most older kids understand the irony, and most understand that when I'm and one of the things that's difficult to do in a comic history of Australia, and when I say a comic history, it is a history book. I stick to real history stories, the real historical movements in Australia and historical fact. I'm often asked, do you just make some of these stories up? And the answer is no, they're all out there. But they're pulled together in such a way and told in such a way, it's almost like a Horrible Histories for adults. And certainly shows like Horrible Histories have done so much to broaden the audience for history. And if you can tell history in a narrative format and inject a little bit of humour along the way, you're opening up what is, I think, a fascinating subject to a broader readership, and that's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, exactly. This is why, I mean, when I was reading it, I'm reading in two levels. I'm reading it just for the pure enjoyment of it. I'm reading for, I had no idea that happened.
Yeah.
So the historical side, the love of history side of things. But I'm also reading for, thank God this exists. Because to my mind, with the way in which the world is going and history getting shunted to the side, and people not knowing their own history.
And I think in Australia we've got a bit of a chip on our shoulder about our history. We have this belief that in order to have a proper history, you've got to have epic battles, inbred monarchs, castles and knights. And our view of history is very much a Eurocentric history in many ways. And we have the most fascinating history because we are a nation that was founded essentially by petty criminals and prostitutes that within a single human lifespan, with that starting point, became the richest per capita colonies, places in the world to live with the advent of the gold rush. But in early days, you had 90% blokes, 10% women. That produces a very, very weird sort of social atmosphere. And an actual policy that involved having no treasury, no money produced domestically. And so rum becomes the de facto currency of choice. And before rum, as I talk about in Gert, handkerchiefs were big in terms of bartered goods. So it's an absolutely fascinating history. And I think what I'm trying to do is to steer away from, you know, when I studied history at school, it was all about sheep, criminals, sheep. There was a guy in a metal gimp suit. There was some gold and there were some more sheep. And I thought I wanted to go for the window as well.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to make some of the characters in Australian history come alive.
You're moving on to Truegert. How far into or towards now are you going with Truegert?
Well, Truegert, as the name implies, is a frontier story. It's a story of the Wild South. And so the focus in Gert was the establishment of the colony of New South Wales, and a lot of the action centres on Sydney. This book is about the expansion of the frontier and men with big beards, mostly, pushing the boundaries of the frontier, settling new parts of Australia, and having all sorts of adventures with Indigenous people and native wildlife along the way.
How do you walk that line? Because this is the dark bit.
Yeah.
You know, it gets darker and darker with Australian history as you go forward. I mean, there's kind of an Enlightenment view when they first arrived that was hard to implement. And then when the country got opened up, that's when really the worst atrocities happened.
What's really fascinating is that it was at the time of peak Enlightenment in the 1830s when the enlightened Whigs held sway in London and the Colonial Office. It was at that particular time that you actually had the decimation of the Tasmanian Aborigines. And in many ways, Enlightenment thinking didn't put a brake on the story of European First People contact. It accelerated it.
Yeah, I wonder if that...
Because there was this perverse belief in evangelical circles that white settlement needed to expand in Australia to protect the Aborigines from white settlers. And that was a very sort of perverse logic. We must send out respectable white men who own many sheep to protect the Aborigines from the less reputable people who will be going out there anyway. And so you have, in the second half of the 1830s, you have an area larger than Great Britain in a very short period of time, overrun by men with beards and, you know, small fluffy white animals and Indigenous people just being moved off their lands at a rate that had never happened before.
So with your ironic pen raised, your sense of humour prepared,
yeah.
How do you tackle that as a writer to get...
Look, the line between tragedy and comedy is a very, very fine one. And this book is... I think Truegert is a better history than Gert. I don't try and shirk any of those confrontational issues. And there is such incredible tragedy in some of these situations. For instance, the Mile Creek Massacre is one of the stories that I focus on in the book. And you read the court transcripts of the prosecution of the stockmen involved in that case. And then the legal arguments that are mounted. There was no dispute that 28, or at least 28, you know, mostly old women, old men and children were butchered at Mile Creek. The defence ran the line, you've actually got to say who that body belongs to and what was the name of that Aboriginal person in order to prove that a particular Aboriginal person was murdered. And it's just a sort of staggeringly staggering legal argument. But there's humour in that as well. And one of the things that I found whilst researching the Mile Creek Massacre story, one of the defendants was a Mr. Oates, and his character witness was a Mr. Hall. So I do look at the role of Hall and Oates in one of Australia's most famous Aboriginal massacres. And it's those sorts of things that when you stumble across them, you just think, gee, I'm glad I'm doing this research.
So when does True Goat come out? When do I get to...
True Goat should be on the shelves in late October. It's a Christmas stocking filler. It's coming soon to a Booktopia outlet and bookstore near you.
So before we move on, because it excites me that you've only got that far, so there'll be more in this series?
True Goat ends... There's a lot of bushrangers in True Goat, and they are one of the exemplars of the frontier myth. And the sheer rate, what I love about bushranging as a profession is it was a very equal opportunities, egalitarian profession. It catered to minority groups. So there's Captain Moonlight, Australia's most infamous LGBTI bushranger. Ben Hall liked a bit of cross-dressing. There was Sam Poo, the Chinese bushranger with the silly name. There was Coffee, the Aboriginal bushranger. And one of the other themes in this book is the sorts of names white people gave Aborigines. They didn't let them use their names. They gave them names like Coffee, with reference to skin colour. One that goes with Coffee, strangely, was Make a Cake. The Martha Stewart school of naming Aborigines. But... other great bushrangers, there was a visually impaired bushranger called Blue Cap, who wore a blue eye shade to protect his damaged eyes from the sun. He was basically half blind. And my favourite is one of Australia's most prominent Jewish bushrangers, Teddy Davis, known as in bushranging circles as Teddy the Jew Boy Davis, who actually led a bushranging gang of Jewish bushrangers called the Jew Boy Gang in the Hunter Valley. They terrorised the Hunter Valley between sort of 1838 and 1840, except on Saturdays. And so bushrangers are a big part of the book. And I finish the book with Ned Kelly on the gallows, because when Kelly died, there was part of that frontier myth that sort of ended and solidified around him. Mm. And so Kelly's death in 1880 seems like a pretty good place to end the book.
And... book three? Is there a book three? I mean, I know that life in Australia gets far more complicated. When you read an Australian history, a boring one, it gets to the sort of the...
Yes, I am looking forward to writing about the constitutional conventions of the late 1890s.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
And Federation. And
Federation. Exciting times, John. Exciting times. There will probably be a book three after writing this one and spending essentially close to 2 years of my life locked in the Mitchell Library. I'm going to take a little bit of time out and try and reconnect with modern Australia rather than historical Australia. But I suspect that there will be a volume three down the track.
Well, you could break and do volume five and just do the last 25
like
years.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah, and do, do the last 25 years of politics or something in Australia. There's enough laughs there.
There is. I mean, one of the things that I really worried about when writing Goethe was being sued. But the great thing is dead men carry no writs. And so I'm a little more anxious about turning the blowtorch on people who are still alive or people who still have children who are alive, who write angry letters to the Daily Telegraph. But look, I think I will be going there. I've been doing some writing for the Chaser, which seems to have no fear in sacrificing today's sacred cows. So I should probably take a nip of courage from their hip flask and give it a go.
Well, I'm an advocate. I want some detailed histories. I want a sort of like a 20-volume History of Australia. Little slim volumes, of course. You know, give it. I give you 2 years between each one. I'm generous, but a full comic history of Australia would be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, look, it is on the cards. I mean, I'm also really interested in exploring other religion and philosophy and subjects like that as well. So
you're shying away from modern politics and you're going to get into religion, right?
Yeah. The only things that you should not talk about in dinner are sort of politics, sex, and religion. And basically, GERT is entirely made up of politics, sex, and religion, as is the second book. And you mentioned earlier about teaching history for kids. You know, sort of a GERT Junior is very much a live option.
That'd be awesome.
Which would involve, I've been sort of reading through bits of it, saying how much of this can I use for younger kids.
You're talking about a pictorial one, or
Not sure yet. It's sort of in its early days. But once you strip out all of the infidelity, whipping, and gay sex, it's really a pretty slim volume.
Well, you know, kids' books, picture books are what, 24 or 48 pages, aren't they?
Yeah, I may be able to scrape up sort of 32 pages worth of if I write in really big print.
Well, I'm just going to quickly address the publisher. The publisher of GERT, if you want to go down that line, Booktopia will support such books. So there is a market out there. We will support it and push it to the audience. I'm sure Australian lovers of GERT would love to share more of it with their children, so I'm a great advocate of that idea.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much for joining us, David. Thank you for coming here and talking about a book that isn't even out yet, True GERT, which we're going to get in October. It's been delightful. I cannot wait to get my hand on that new book. So thank you very much for coming to Booktopia.
Thanks, John.
GERT is available on Booktopia right now, and I believe True GERT will be available to pre-order very soon. Booktopia.com.au.
I think it's available for pre-order now, John.
Oh, I've been corrected. True GERT is available for pre-order right now on booktopia.com.au.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.